New Life, episode 59. Hello, and thanks for joining us on our series of conversations, New Life, with Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Also, Nitza Mazoz is with us. Hello. And we invite you to join our conversation. We'd like to talk today about the Israeli public, the Israeli audience, and the special situation we're in. We are undergoing days of threats from different frontiers and want to prepare ourselves for them. There are different preparations that the public is making, and we would like to prepare our hearts, prepare ourselves emotionally towards this situation, towards these threats, and develop an inner ability to cope with this as a public, as the people of Israel. And with us is Dr. Lightman, who can explain to us what does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about this field. So, Dr. Lightman, we feel that the more unclear the situation becomes in terms of security and so on, we all kind of plunge into this state where we don't really know what's going to happen, uncertainty. So if Nitza could start, please, and then we'll continue. So first of all, usually our life is, we live our life where we don't really know what's going to happen. But in times of threat, that uncertainty goes and grows. A person, he kind of falls out of that game that he is used to playing during life. And he looks at things from the outside. It's a moment where the heart opens up, the mind opens up. I already feel the excitement. Breathe deeply. Okay. It is a moment where the uncertainty puts a person in a state of anxiety, fear. He understands suddenly that there are certain forces. It's not that he's not aware of them, but it's the first time that he kind of deals with them. It's not that he's not aware of them, but suddenly he has to open his eyes and say, okay, I feel that my destiny is not in my hands. My faith is not in my hands. And that's very threatening. And that is the situation which the broad public is in. Of course, because usually we take into consideration uncertainty, but it's somewhere there in the background, and it doesn't really stand in our way. We make our own plans, we carry out different actions, and we don't take into consideration real uncertainty. But if something happens, then we'll make a change in our plans. When there is a threat, some kind of unknown force that starts managing our life and we have no ability to control it, then of course we enter a state of insecurity, uncertainty, and the uncertainty here has to do undoubtedly with the upper force. It's something higher than us. It's not necessarily, you know, an upper force like the creator or something, but it's faith. It's something when, you know, you make different plans in the economy, insurance companies and so on. They take this factor into account, something that you cannot foresee. So when I studied mathematics, there was a whole theory about certainty and uncertainty and how do we calculate all these things, without which it's impossible to plan anything, neither in plants or in technology nor in anything else there. It's taken as a factor and put into equations. It's, let's say, it's like the measuring probability, but here it's not even probability that I can measure that it might happen this way or that way. I have no assumption about it whatsoever. Therefore, the uncertainty here is really closer to the higher force, that there is some given in all of our calculations that's present, that is present for sure. It's not maybe, maybe not, but the given is there for sure. It is an unknown, and as if it doesn't depend on us. And whatever we plan, of course, it can invert, flip in a very dramatic way toward us. And that includes vast changes in life and what will happen with life altogether. Will there be life or not? And a person, he has this feeling of, will I live or won't I? These aren't kinds of calculations, will I succeed or not? Maybe I'll do it one way or another and then it will come out differently. But here it's like Shakespeare says, to be or not to be. And in these cases, he is more tended to religion, faith, different signs, remedies. A person starts believing and maybe buying some kind of a higher insurance policy. Maybe it'll help me, maybe it'll protect me and so on. It's something known. And also we see ordinary people before they have a big trial or something, or they have fatal things. In smaller things where it's not about life or death. Here too, of course, we can use the situation, take advantage of it, in order to come to a person and to society in general and to explain to them what does it mean, the force that determines our faith. And it says that Israel are above stars and signs. What does it mean, above stars and signs? Can we really determine our faith, influence it? And here comes in the wisdom of Kabbalah that gives us the whole picture, shines the whole picture, tells us about all that happens, explains the forces wherein, under the control of which forces are we, and how can we transcend these forces, meaning transcend the natural forces, and to really decide, determine in a fatal state our faith. Where specifically Israel have the opportunity to do so. And it's not, you know, it's not about praying or doing more charity or something, but it's really understanding, knowing what destiny is and how do I control it. And actually, this is what the whole wisdom of Kabbalah is for, specifically for that. And therefore, we also see on our teacher, Baal HaSulam, how he came out to the people with a nation newspaper or on different other occasions. He saw very fatal situations, detrimental situations of real uncertainty, where we are under the forces of faith, for the better or for the worse. And so he came out with, he went on this special mission, special task of dissemination and explanation of how can we transcend faith and influence it. To decide it for the better. To sentence it for the better. And here we also have to see the invitation from the forces of nature, from faith itself, for us to interfere. Because if we really got from nature, from upper force, this ability to transcend the stars and signs, then in this case, when fate becomes fatal, detrimental, this is the time in which we have to function as Israel, where the wisdom of Kabbalah explains that Israel means those who want to become like the upper force, which is all good and benevolent, and if we want to come to that, to come closer to Him, to become like Him, then we too have to take the same actions, take on the same forms as that force which is good and benevolent. And that is something that we do through the connection between us, by which we create the attribute of bestowal, or maybe even the quality of love. If we unite, by this we come closer to the upper force, the higher force which is good and benevolent, and there's none else beside Him. Then by that, we determine ourselves and the whole world to a scale of merit. And we see that faith, all in all, did the right thing, performed the correct action in order to awaken us toward the correction of the relations between us. And this is actually what it presented itself for. Appeared. Meaning, we have to see this, we have to see ourselves as a necessary organization, an organization that must, since it's the call of the hour, to go out and explain, to go out on this special mission of explanation. And to that, of course, we have to add the explanation about the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is not mysticism, but it explains to us about the system that operates our world from above. And this system, we have to know it, understand it, in order to take control of our destiny and secure a good and nice life for ourselves that is not somewhere in the heavens, but really for us to use here and now. A person who is even used to using, I suppose, reading psalms and these special cases, or he gives charity, or he performs some other religious act or ceremony. And usually there's an awakening toward that in time of crisis. Of course, we're not against that, only that we add to that with the wisdom of Kabbalah says that we need to add to it the component of social unity, social unification, bonding, which is extremely important, which is truly decisive, which truly shifts the faith for the better. And here we already talked about it, that the temple was destroyed and we went into exile because we came down from brotherly love into unfounded hatred. And if we take the right kind of action in order to become one nation in unity, even come closer to brotherly love where all of Israel are brothers, then undoubtedly that by that we rise to that same principle of love another as thyself, according to which our nation existed in the past. And according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, Of course, we take ourselves and the whole world, and we need to forget about that either. We need to decide ourselves and the whole world to a scale of merit. Merit means that we become purer, closer to that good and benevolent force, none else beside Him, the upper force that governs our world. A person who is, who has these hard moments in life, he becomes more sensitive to it and is ready to listen. Where he doesn't see before him money, honor, control, knowledge, different corporeal pleasures, but if there's really a question of life and death here, and in a very sharp manner, very threatening, coming our way, moment of truth that awakens in him, this feeling awakens in him that he's ready to listen and hear. It's not even about listening and hearing, but he is capable of feeling what that there is something that someone wants to tell him something. He feels it in his heart. We all become very, very sensitive to the perception of each and every message. Maybe this will help. And besides that, we have to take into account this general awakening in the nation. We know that the nation is very stubborn, and in a state where everything's great, you can't turn to them. But they're ready to, you know, protect themselves, hide themselves from any external influence, not wanting to hear anything, listen to anything. Only what helps me in this very moment for my corporeal life, for my materialistic life. And here, since it becomes public domain, existential problem of the whole country, then here, due to this general awakening, there is a much greater intensity. I can't say how many folds greater it is in each and every one due to the influence of the environment over each person. Then his anxiety, it becomes conscious and subconscious. And in different forms, shapes, and manners. It has to do with his kids and his family, his relatives and his mom and dad, and his whole environment. It so much increases his emotions, his feelings, or his logic, his brain, that he is ready to accept things which earlier seemed to him unrational. Suddenly, he sees them as important because he sees that all his calculations are worthless and the only thing that can help is a miracle. And a miracle, it doesn't mean that it's something above nature, but it means that in our nature, only by our corporeal low nature, we can't digest, we can't find and detect and calculate. This is the time that's intended for the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah, and here too, of course, we have to explain what is this wisdom, that it's not mysticism, that it is specifically the basis, the foundation of Judaism, and Judaism is not based on mysticism. You know, like today you have all the different kinds of new branches, modern branches, but it is the wisdom of Kabbalah. It is a wisdom about how to work with the upper force, how to detect it, how to understand it, how to come closer to it, how to be and reciprocity with it. It's to discover the Creator. And then, in this fatal state, that is exactly what we need. So without the wisdom of Kabbalah, I don't think that in such fatal situations we cannot succeed at all. And since the whole world is coming to a world threat, third world war, atom war, all the problems of famine and climate, and, you know, problems with the climate and ecological problems, they're on our doorstep. They didn't come into my home yet, but I can really see them already. Meaning there is nothing here that, you know, someone is simply telling me about something like a few years ago that soon it's going to happen and so on. It's already there, only it's not yet in my living room. But outside my window, I really see that that's how it is. And therefore, as the wisdom of Kabbalah itself explains, this is the time in which it is revealed to us, because we must use these opportunities in order to study it, for as if in order to save us from the threat, from the general threat of eco blows and famine and wars and so on. But actually it is in order to awaken us, to shake us up, like the Egyptian plagues. What is it for? In order to make the people of Israel come out of Egypt. Otherwise they wouldn't. All these blows come only for us, because we can transcend this force, we can transcend faith, so-called. And therefore, now as well, we have to use that same method as to how to approach, come closer to the higher force, and by it to come out of the entire crisis, not only this threat that we're undergoing here in Israel, even though that this is the center of all threats, and we'll see and know that even if this threat of war kind of draws back, a different threat will come, threat of famine, climate problems, other problems. And nevertheless, from all these kinds of problems, like we went through the 10 plagues in Egypt in order to come out of it, and according to different calculations, it's also 50 blows, 250 blows. It depends how you divide it all, how you look at it, and identify them all. So here we will see the very same process, and it's a shame if we, those who understand how we can come out and who's doing it to us, why is he doing it all to us, in order for us to really transcend from the level of today's Egypt, where we're really enslaved to the corporeal life, to a higher level, to the materialistic life, to from there to a higher level, that our entire life, that's what buries us under the economical crisis and with the threat of war and the climate problems, that all in all, it's due to our ego, because we're separated, distanced from each other, and we have to reach a state where through connection and being as one man and one heart, being in mutual bestowal, being in arvut, and love another as thyself, by that we come out of Egypt and come to the land of Israel, where truly our flourishment will take place. are thriving. We have to somehow put it in a nice, good, convenient wrapping and start serving it to the people. The moment we start delivering it to the people, package after package, we'll see how these threats start getting a different form, to such an extent that we'll discover that we're truly transcending faith, meaning the stars and signs, and we are in a kind of a conversation with the higher force that controls everything, and we'll truly discover it as good that does good, good and benevolent to everyone. From all that you said and from my conversations with people, one of the biggest problems is prejudice they have about Kabbalah. First of all, even though you explained very clearly that there is a very big discernment between mysticism and the wisdom of Kabbalah, most of the people think that it's one and the same. Here, maybe even as a part of the explanation process, it's important to get into that place and explain what's the difference. Mysticism comes from the word mist, meaning anything that's beyond the five senses falls under this category. So maybe we can make this discernment and show that the wisdom of Kabbalah is not mysticism. Then what is it? That's the first stage. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the method for the revelation of the one higher force that controls the whole of nature. That's its definition. You could add to that that it's the revelation of the Creator to His creatures. You can add that in brackets. And this revelation coming to a person, it comes in a state where a person becomes more sensitive, more subtle, a bit relieves himself from materialism, transcends it, in order to start feeling this higher force. But usually, man, he is in materialism. And in order to reach the higher force, you put a person specifically into Egypt, into the worst possible materialistic place, which is our world here and now. And besides that, we are a stubborn nation that we do like being in this kind of a materialistic world, world of possessions. Why? Because by trying to ascend, even if we try to ascend somehow above our materialism, we will not be able to do it. And we'll cry and yell and eventually find out that this materialism is eating us up, is finishing us off. By this, we really burn our whole world, the entire world around us will have nothing from what to exist. It's like cancer that eats its environment and then dies itself because it has nothing to nourish itself from. The same is with us. We are like a cancer in nature, in this, like a tumor in the body of nature, and that we're incapable of transcending ourselves. This eventually gives us an understanding, the recognition that we must acquire this higher force. We have to draw it. We have to come closer to it, meaning that we must become like it. And in this tendency towards becoming like it and asking to control our ego, by this we start understanding it. And this is called the revelation of the Creator to His creature in this world. In this world, meaning inside the ego that I am, in my efforts to transcend it, because I have no choice, otherwise I'll die. I pull this upper force. I try as much as I can. I want it to happen. And then, by that, I ask Him to pull me from my ego, from Egypt. And in this critical state, we truly... This is the state we're in, and from that critical state we transcend, and the people of Israel and the whole of humanity are before this exodus, because no longer can we nor the world exist any longer in this paradigm as before, where we eventually consume all of our environment and eventually die ourselves. Either we destroy ourselves by a third world war, or we'll die of hunger, or the climate will burn us and kill us somehow, and so on. Or everything together. I want to return to the point we started with. We started with the point of uncertainty. You explained why a person feels uncertainty on a psychological level. He feels that way because he doesn't understand the laws of the game. He doesn't understand what's going to happen. That causes tension. Not only tension, but sensitivity due to the uncertainty. And then he starts relying, putting his trust, his hopes into something unknown. And then he has an attitude to this unknown factor, the higher hidden force. Higher means that it's not me that can do anything here with my hands, legs, or with money, but there's a higher force that decides these things. That's called higher. So, psychologically, what is the need of a person in this state of mind? He suddenly understands that there is a force that controls reality, has no control over it, and that state he wants to have contact with it. If he could understand what does that force want from him, it would be better. Or control it. Yes, if he could control it or change it, much better. And that is the reason why people naturally turn to these different, blessings, charms, so on. Why do they do it? Because, by mistake, they go to the place of mysticism because they think it'll solve the problem. No. Mysticism is uncertainty as well. Blessings, charms, so on, do this, do that. A person, he simply grabs hold of anything that he heard in his lifetime that it might help. Exactly. And at this point, I feel that there is lacking a deeper discernment of the differences. What will cause a person to understand that he needn't go in this direction, but in the direction of the wisdom of Kabbalah, something that, because mysticism will not really give him a solution. It's not about the wisdom of Kabbalah, that he'll know that it's the wisdom of Kabbalah or not. It's a matter of explanation, the need for connection. To what extent should the wisdom of Kabbalah be introduced here? I don't know. We have to think about it. Because if a person is really, really under threat right now, life or death, and we are incapable of causing him, of uniting him with others, at least on the very basic level, in order to influence among the people, in order to influence his faith, in order to influence nature that is global, or the upper force that has demanded from us unity throughout history. And if we'll be united, connected, then, you know, we will justify that force, and so on. you know, in a very open manner, that this is what we are demanded to do. Look what it says in the Torah, that if we do this, for sure, we will be saved, all of the shattering, all of the everything, instead of brotherly love, unfounded hatred, because of that, everything happened. And if we unite, then maybe we should also say that it comes from the wisdom of Kabbalah, but gradually. We needn't simply turn to people with this heavy artillery. It's too much for a person to accept it, to agree with it, to come closer. If that word Kabbalah comes in. But all the other words, God, judgment, mercy, unity, hatred, love. It says in the Torah and all of these verses, like, love another as thyself and so on. It can speak to him. And it's something that's common among the people. And you simply have to evoke it and wrap it in a easy, light wrapping so people will accept it. And to say that this is exactly what the wisdom of Kabbalah says, I think it's not the time yet to come out in name of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Of course, I'd be very interested for us to be able to open it, but not yet. And, you know, education in general comes gradually. It's not that we stop with the previous education. And of course it will come in waves. All in all, we have to see in all of these threats, stimulation coming to the people of Israel to come out of their spiritual exile. Spiritual meaning that out of spirituality, out of the hatred, out of the distance, to rise, to be in brotherly love as one man and one heart. So all in all, we have to say what it says in the Torah, awaken what it says in the Torah, instead of the different charms and so on. And this is, in the Torah, it says nothing about the different charms and blessings and so on. It says so about Bilam and the others, but not about the people of Israel. But to emphasize what the Torah demands of us, not mysticism and not any hidden kind of Torah. And all the more they can connect to that same appeal to the nation, all the different currents, seculars and religious. We can go with everyone and we'll be happy about it. And it is good to turn to them and to awaken them toward that. Once again, to put atop all of what we're doing, the arvut, which no one actually resists it openly. And this is what we have to do. And like we see from experience, that a person that comes closer to this, to the unity, to the connection, to the arvut, he starts understanding that yes, these sources are the basis of the world, of the nation, that the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about. Do you think that in this time there is an importance to the explanation of the uniqueness of the people of Israel? No. Just a bit. That the blows will become ever stronger and will especially come to us, not to the whole world, but we are the ones who will feel them and will be the center of all the blows coming from nature, which is the Creator. Because by this we have to set an example for the whole world as to how to come out of the crisis. How? Through unity all over the world, that through the unity taking place around the world, we're coming out of the global integral crisis. But not to say that we have to go and teach and publicize to the whole world. For the time being, it's enough for us to feel these problems at home. It's not that we have to add to it this mission, this task. Even though that later on, possibly so. Because according to the development of things, we will feel a very big threat. If we do not succeed this way to advance to the good, then the threat will increase in the neighbors, and then the more distanced so-called friends of ours will turn their back on us and will become enemies, and then we'll have to explain to our nation that this is actually the demonstration of our situation, of our attitude to them, that the time has come for us to give them the method of correction. And since we're the only ones who have this method, then all in all, the balance of forces in nature turns them to us negatively. That we, as the owners of the method, do not release it to them. This is why they treat us this way. And the moment we become light for the nations, they will immediately become fans and helpers and ready for everything. Like the example with our friends, our groups all over the world that are ready to do everything just for us to give them the method. You're emphasizing today that there's no point in coming out in the name of the wisdom of Kabbalah, because these waves of more threat or less threat, it comes in accordance with us having to be more sensitive, like on the news every day, in what style, in what intensity, to what extent of revelation are we talking about. Therefore, until there is a real threat against which we can say that this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah says, there's no real need for it. It's not yet necessary for me in order to start and convince the people. They will not be convinced by the name of Kabbalah to reach unity. On the contrary, it might reject the people. Why say something that is that they can't hear? So, okay, what should we? You said what's not important. It's not important to come out under the name of the wisdom of Kabbalah. What is important now? There is a threatening situation with security. So what should we come out with? We have to raise the public to the level of destiny, faith, where in this state, with all due respect to our army, we are nonetheless under threat and fear. Not just like they're calculating in the government how many will die, how many won't die. But it can be about the existence of our nation as the nation of Israel on the land of Israel, because you have no idea what might happen if you really get into a serious war and from all sides surround you. These that will break down all of your borders immediately and will eat you up in order not to leave anything from you. It's not that today they're neutral and you have a problem only with Iran. You have to take everyone into consideration. And suddenly, in a single moment, where suppose you make war plans and it seems to you that you can rely on some kind of countries like Saudi or Jordan or Turkey to be neutral or even support you somehow, this can invert from one minute to the next. And then all of your plans are no longer sustainable. Meaning that here we're in a state where in the slightest mistake, by the slightest mistake, you have no one to rely on, including America. But only the so-called Our Father in the Heavens. And through the connection and the unity, and also according to all researchers and scientists, we draw closer to the force of nature, to nature itself. And through unity, as the Torah tells us, or in brackets, the wisdom of Kabbalah, we come closer to Elohim, which the Creator, which is the same as nature, and by that we can sentence the whole world to a scale of merit. What does it mean, merit? To be pure of our ego, instead of enemies, haters, instead of resisting each other, to be friends, partners, brothers. Is it a religious campaign? I don't know if it's religious. We have no one to put our trust in but our Father in the Heavens. It's true, but it's not religious because we're talking about our history here. We're talking about not the secular or religious way of life. For you, religious is someone with a kippah, tzitzit, eats kosher, goes to the mikveh, prays three times a day, keeps the Shabbat, and so on. I call religious someone who thinks that through unity with others, by attaining love another as thyself, he comes closer to the Creator. He reaches proximity with the Creator. Tell him, Lord God, call him however you want. Is that called religious or not? They'll tell you, no, it's not religious. It's someone who's secular. He goes with it. Is it? No. It's kosher? No. So on? No. So he's not religious. Does he keep the Shabbat? No. Ah, so what kind of a religious person is that? And on the contrary, please give me, show me the implementation of love another as thyself in religion. That's not religious at all. What do you mean not religious at all? That we have no one to put our trust in to our Father in the Heavens with all due respect to our army? No. We have nothing to put our trust in but the upper force. If we come closer to Him, as it says in the Torah, love another as thyself is the major rule of everything. Let's keep that rule. we have to also play on it that by this you actually encourage the seculars that they're actually doing all this. Everything, but the, you know, besides the mitzvot, you know how they say, I'm more of a believer than anyone else. Play on that. Because here you're exactly like him. You're telling him, we need nothing from you besides that one rule of the Torah, love another as thyself. That's it. Above, top everything includes everything else.